Okay, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be in the house of God together with the Bible open, our hearts open, ready to hear, ready to receive. We've had some days filled with focus and purpose. We had a funeral on Friday. Some of you were at that, and it was a wonderful time, really, celebrating the life and also rejoicing in the salvation of John Cook. And there were many family here, and we shared the gospel there. It was a special time. Pray for tonight. We have our second teenage meeting, or the youth group. We'll be here at 6 o'clock. So if you think of it between 6 and 8, pray for us. The first time was a very special time. We have a need for that teen ministry. And then on Monday, that's tomorrow, or tomorrow, really early, I'll be driving down to Cornwall, where there's an FIEC conference, leadership conference. It's their annual conference. It's their main conference. I don't know, but it seems like a couple of thousand people. It's a big event. And I'm looking forward, in a sense, to unplugging and just go driving down on my own and with meet other believers, hear from the Lord, and so pray for that time. So I won't be here for the next few days. We won't have class here on Tuesday or home group on Wednesday, but we'll be back with refreshed. Okay, so let's this will be the last time we stand. Thank you. Let's stand together and we'll read Acts chapter 10, and then from Nehemiah chapter 8. And Acts chapter 10, verse 27. And this is when Peter comes to the house of Cornelius. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Verse 33, Cornelius says, "And you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." And then Peter opened his mouth and said. Then in Nehemiah chapter 8, this is where we'll be this morning, just the first verse. "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the law had commanded Israel." So, Father, we thank you for this time. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we can be gathered together, drawing near with a full expectation to just hear from you. And we pray together with one heart, one mind, that you would bless this time, you would speak to our hearts. Instruct us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's be seated together. Remember the context. Ezra and Nehemiah, well, one book in the Hebrew Bible. It's the same story. Nehemiah came just about 14 years after Ezra. And these two books between them cover the three returns from captivity. And hopefully we're beginning to get this picture. Most of us perhaps know it. But on that timeline, there were three returns. The first with Zerubbabel, second with Ezra, the third with Nehemiah. Those returns are covered in these books, Ezra and Nehemiah. So this is the context. It's the third return. Nehemiah has returned with a small group. They have rebuilt the wall. They finished the wall miraculously in 52 days, recognizing it really was a work of God. And then in chapter 8, this is where we are, they now want to instruct the people. First, the reconstructing of the wall, and now the re-instruction of the people, that they would be renewed in the covenant. They would be refreshed in seeing who they were, the people of God, and the purpose for which he had called them. So we go to the text together, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. We read the verse, "All the people gathered together as one man." Isn't that amazing? That's like us this morning. That's like those that gathered in the house of Cornelius. That's like many examples in the book of Acts, etc., where the people of God were gathered together for the purpose to hear God's word and the truth and the gospel expounded. It's an amazing spectacle. It's something beautiful when God's people gather together in faith. Psalm 133, remember how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren and the sistren to dwell together in unity. For it's there that God, what? Commands a blessing. Oh, God commands a blessing in this place. And that's part of our experience. We can testify to that. Do you remember the many times in your life where you drew near by faith and the book was open and God spoke to your heart? You remember? That's why we come again and again. For God is faithful. And they're gathered as one man, gathered in unity for the purpose of hearing God's word. Hebrews 10:23 says, forsake not the gathering together. But there is a blessing there. This is not common ground. Many people may go to church on a Sunday in tradition, and it's just something they do, maybe without really recognizing what the biblical model is. This is not common ground. This is not a common place. But we have learned to see that this is God's house, that these are God's people, that this is God's word, that the Spirit of God is with us and in us to teach us, to quicken us. We have learned that we are more than just flesh and blood, but we are also spiritual, and that life is essentially spiritual. And therefore, we would do well to bring our physical body to where our spiritual man can be quickened again and again. For God is faithful. Thank you for that, amen. There's many amens in the heart, but Kate often... Wonderful. This is a divine appointment we come to, believing that we will meet together with God's people, with the Lord. It's a sacred event. And what did the people do? It says they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law. It's remarkable. The people asked. The people said to Ezra, bring the book. They had built the wall, but somehow they also realized that there was a greater need than just a wall around the city. For their protection was really based on them being right with God. And though they had error, and if you read the book you see, there was error, but they wanted to be addressed and to be corrected. They wanted to hear from God, that God would speak to the heart and set them right. So they said to Ezra, bring the book. It's a wonderful, wonderful request. And who did they ask? They asked Ezra to bring the book. Back in Ezra 7, verse 6, it says that Ezra was a ready scribe, that he knew the word, he knew the book. He was a man immersed in the word, who knew the word. He was a scribe. But more than just knowledge, there was devotion and passion and faith in his life. So they said, Ezra, we want Ezra, the scribe, the priest, to bring the book. For in that same chapter, Ezra 7, in verse 10, it says that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to do the word and to teach the word. It wasn't abstract. It wasn't detached from his life. But he also was among them as a member of the remnant, with a calling and a blessing on his life. And he was gifted to bring the word and teach the word. So they asked for him. I often think it's a marvel and a mystery that I am standing in this pulpit this morning. I sometimes wonder, how did that happen? Brian and Margaret are here, my dear friends, from I don't know how many years back. They were in the little fellowship when I became a believer, and now I'm preaching. I don't understand how that happened. But I'm thankful for it. And I know how much I love this book and the hours and hours I spend with joy reading it, thinking about it, praying and preparing. And that hopefully we find thankfulness in our heart for that, that your pastor loves the Bible. That's a good thing. Isn't it? Perhaps if you're a pastor and you don't love the Bible and you don't love people, it's not the job for you. But Ezra, they called for Ezra and he brought the book. Oh, these three things, listen, the people and the book and Ezra. Oh, it's amazing. These three things are so important in the Christian life. God has given them. Oh, we need the people and we need the book and we need the instruction. God has given that by his great grace. And we come to this place and in our heart, with a heart attitude, we take off our shoes and we have the book open and the heart open. And just like Cornelius said to Peter, we are gathered to hear what God has to say through you. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul commended the church and he said, listen, I commend you because you received the word of God. You received the word not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually works in those who believe. When I am mixing faith, Hebrews 4:2, with the word, it profits me, it effectually works in me. So in this crucial time in history for the remnant back in Israel, they saw a need. Ezra saw it, Nehemiah saw it, the leaders saw it, the people saw it. And what was the need? Oh, it was for the book. It was for the word. That someone would teach and preach the word. And in this land, in this beloved country of ours, and in this town, and in this church, and in our lives, there is such a need for the teaching and the preaching of the word. But we are sad to say that many Christians are biblically illiterate. And maybe they even go to church, but they don't know the word because they are not taught the word. And they are not growing in their understanding and subsequently not growing in their faith. For faith comes by hearing the word of God in Romans 10:17. And when I do the math, if I believe that, and I do the math, oh, then how I want to find a church that is teaching and preaching the word, and I want to be there, and I want to hear, and I want to mix faith with it, because I believe in God, and I believe in the Bible, and that's what he has told us that we should do by faith. That's why we're here this morning. I remember when I was pastoring in Leeds, there was an African couple, John and Mary. They came to our church. They'd just come from Ghana. And he said the two things that amazed him when he came to England, first of all, was that you could go to the tap and you could turn it on and water would come out of the tap. Clean water, drinkable water. And he was, Mary! Mary! He couldn't believe it, but they were from a little village. And he said, the second thing, I couldn't believe that in England, the Christian country that sent all the missionaries to Africa, I came expecting to just find Christians singing on the streets. But I couldn't even find a Bible in the church. That's what he said. He said, Sunday morning from Sunday to Sunday, I went in church after church and there weren't Bibles. And if they were, they weren't teaching them. And then there we were meeting in a little school classroom with our new church plant. And he came in one day and he went, oh, there it is. The Bible is open and we are speaking about the Word of God and we are teaching and preaching. And they were a great blessing to us. People who knew the value and had a love and an appetite for the Word of God. And I sense that in this church. It's such a joy for a pastor, for all of us, to sense that there is a love and a hunger for the Word of God. So they told Ezra to bring the book. In verse 2, Ezra brought it. He came before the people. Think of the times. Think of the people that have brought the book in your life. Think of the pastors and the preachers that you have known or sat under. Think of the amount of times you have heard the words, please turn in your Bibles. Please stand for the reading of the word. Think of it. It's amazing. You remember the investment, the messengers, the teaching. Oh, thank you, Lord, for those who brought the book in our lives. Before the men and women, it says, and all who could hear with understanding. This means there were some children that were brought and some children who weren't. But the children who could hear with understanding were there. We think about our youth ministry. We think about the amazing job that our Sunday school teachers do and our young people growing in the church, and they are hearing and they are growing in their capacity. We thank God for what's happening there. God bless our children and our young people. Verse 3, and he read in the open square from morning until midday. That's about 6 hours. 6 hours hearing the word. And it says, listen to this, and the ears of all the people were attentive, or a good translation would be, and the ears of all were to the book. The ears were to the book. Like that. That's what it says. The people were attentive. They were focused, hungry. There was an academic discipline and a faith focus that the people had in their hearts, and their ear was to the book. Wonderful. Verse 4, so Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for this purpose. A platform of wood. I love this word, that they had made for this purpose. And I think in Budapest, three times I remember the wood and the sawing, and three times with church plants that we made a stage in the church. And we made it for this purpose. What purpose? Oh, the highest purpose. The teaching and the preaching of the inspired word of God. And I noticed a footnote where I'd written in my Bible, February 26, 2013, in the Chinese church, and we made a platform for this purpose. And it was in a little shop. We rented a shop unit. And at one end, we built a wooden platform, and we built a pulpit, and we taught and preached those precious disciples for those years. What's the purpose? This beautiful book that has changed our lives. And really, all that we do in this church is for that purpose. It's for that high purpose. All that Vi does and Pauline does and Phil does and Sejina does and in the Son of Ed, we could go through all of it. What is it for? It's for this purpose. It's that this word could be preached in here and go out there. And however that could happen, that's the amazing purpose of the Great Commission. And it says, and beside him, and at his right hand, and it lists certain men, and at his left hand, there were certain men. 13 men listed there. These are men on the same page, with the same heart, understanding the value of this purpose, and what church life is all about. And it's not perfect, and it's not polished, but there is a purpose being fulfilled. And we are together on the team. I'm so deeply thankful for the leaders and the deacons we have and the elders going forward that we have in this church, the like-mindedness that we have. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. He was standing above the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Oh, the opening of the book. It's an amazing thing. How precious it is. And these times on Sundays when the book is open, and it says all the people stood up. That's why I enjoy, hopefully we enjoy, that when we have the reading, we stand. And if you're tired or not able, that's fine. You don't have to stand. But we do that because I think it's rooted in this passage. They did it because of honor and respect for the reading of God's word. And it helps us as human beings, perhaps, when I pray, if I kneel, it can help me. Or when I praise and I lift my hand, it can help me. I don't have to do it, but it can help me focus. And perhaps when I stand for the reading of God's word, if I register why I'm doing that, oh, I'm standing. Why? Because this is the word of God. And in my life, in my value system, that which I value and prioritize, this is high on the list. And in this moment, I stand to honor the reading of God's word. Verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God. And then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. Let's try that. Amen, Amen. It's a beautiful word, Amen. It's an important word in the heart and the life of a believer. When this book is opened, where we are gathered, this word, perhaps on our lips, but definitely in our hearts, Amen is so important. It means, oh, let it be so. Yes, I agree. Oh, let that happen. Oh, yes, Amen. In that word is the cross life, that I take up my cross and I agree with God. As He is speaking to me and He is instructing me, and in my heart my response is, oh, Amen, Amen. And maybe it's I don't feel loved and God says, oh, I love you with an everlasting love, and I say, oh, Amen. Or maybe it's I have erred in my ways and God says, this is the way, and I say, Amen. It could be comfort or exhortation or encouragement. God knows. 1 Corinthians 14, he who preaches, preaches unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. One person is comforted, the next person is corrected. I don't know. Someone came to me and said, oh, that message, wow, that really corrected my heart. I'm like, really? And someone else said, oh, that really encouraged me. You know, God is personal. Our Father knows what we need. Verse 6 in the second part. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Let's try that. No. We won't try that. But it's an attitude of heart, isn't it? It's an attitude of heart. Oh, I might be sitting there like that, but in my heart, hopefully I'm like this. I'm before God in His presence. Verse 7, it speaks of the Levites, certain families, and it says, the Levites helped or caused the people to understand the law. Isn't that wonderful? The Levites helped the people to understand. I remember when I was in Bible college and I came home and I put my backpack on the ground and I don't understand what's happened. Who's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And I don't get it. It's just so confusing. And I remember my dorm mate. We sat on the couch and we opened the Bible and we just spoke. And he ministered and he taught me and instructed me. And I remember those years in the dorm and in the classes and in the church, learning how precious they were. And the people, the Levites, the instructors, the teachers, the deacons that help us understand, maybe one-on-one, maybe at a Bible class here, or maybe at the home group on a Wednesday night or wherever, helping us to understand. Jehoshaphat in his revival in 2 Chronicles 17, we just taught it last class. One of the things he did is he got the Levites and he sent them out through the land. He understood what was needed. They would teach the people. And it says, and the people stood in their place. I love that phrase. We could say it means this. That when the word of God is taught and the Spirit of God that is in us is instructing us, we learn how to stand in our place. It means this, that you are a member of the body of Christ. The church is not the building, but it's the people. And we are members of Christ, members of one another. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12:18 that God has placed us in the body as it pleased Him. But when I come into the church, I don't know my place. I don't know my gift. I don't know my portion. I don't know how to minister or perhaps even how to pray. But I learn and I discover my special, unique place in the body of Christ to minister to others as they minister to me. In verse 8, they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them understand the reading. What a wonderful verse. They read distinctly, and then they gave the sense and helped them understand. When that happens, it's happening in our services and in our question times and in our home studies and in our Bible classes. Opportunities where we read and we love that. Oh, we open the Bible and we read. I was with Dwayne yesterday, and just for a moment we said, oh, we opened the Bible and we read, and then we gave the sense. And we said, oh, never thought of it that way, and that's instruction. And that's how I grow in my faith. It says, it gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. I need guidance. I need a teacher. I need a pastor. I need Ezra. I need someone to help me. Remember Acts 8. We might have this verse. I don't know. Maybe I didn't write it down, but Acts 8, remember when Philip meets the Ethiopian? And it says, yeah, we do have it. Thank you, Pat. Thank you so much. And Philip heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he asked, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And I can think of people in my life who maybe not with the words, but they were in my life and they would say, do you understand what you're reading? And I would say, no. How can I unless someone would guide me? Unless someone would teach me? And it says, he asked him to come and sit with him. Would you come and explain it? Would you teach me? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. From this scripture. And he preached Jesus from the book of Isaiah, and the book of Daniel, and the book of Ezra, and the book of John, and the book of Hebrews, and the book of Revelation, and all through the scriptures. That's why we love expositional teaching and preaching, where we are going through verses and passages and books of the Bible. For there we see Jesus lifted up in all His glory and all of the accomplishments of the finished work on our behalf and all that it means to us as Christians. It's a beautiful thing to be students of the Bible and to be getting to know Jesus. There's also Apollos, remember in Acts 18? He was teaching, but it says he only knew the baptism of John. He was a great speaker and he was a great teacher, but he only knew the baptism of John. And then Priscilla and Aquila, they heard him, and it says they took him to one side and they showed him the word of God more accurately or more perfectly. Oh, that's good, Apollos, but that's the truth, but it's not the finished work. You're speaking about Jesus in a sense, but that's not the gospel. That's not grace. That's not eternal security. Let us help you. And then it says Apollos was able to help others who had believed in grace. That's amazing. Back to Nehemiah 8, verse 9. Nehemiah was the governor. Ezra was the priest. Again, they were contemporaries of each other, and they knew their strengths and their roles. Nehemiah was the governor, Ezra was the priest and the teacher. Although, of course, Nehemiah had a portion as well. And it says the Levites, and they taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord. That's important. They taught the people, this day is holy. That God is holy. We are His people and we are holy. We are set apart unto Him. And then He said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send the portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to your Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in the context here, the Feast of Trumpets and then the Feast of Tabernacles, he was saying, listen, you're hearing the word and there's conviction and you're weeping and that has its place. But this feast day is a feast of joy and rejoicing. And it says, verse 11, the Levites quieted all the people and said, shh, be still, for this day is holy. And all the people went their way to eat and drink. And listen to this, verse 12, and rejoiced greatly. Why? Because they understood the words that were declared to them. Why were they rejoicing? Because they understood. Because the book had been opened. And there was Ezra and the Levites and the instruction and a growing understanding. And it was like, oh, I understand the words that are declared to me. Have you ever sat in a service and it's almost like it's in Latin? And you're like, I don't even understand the words, let alone the meaning. But they had joy because they understood. And look at verse 13. On the second day, the heads of the fathers and the priests and the Levites were gathered to Ezra. Why? In order to understand the words of the law. They understood their need. Understanding was the need. To understand the word, that I might relate to God, follow God, live by faith, pray. How do I know how to do that? Unless I understand the word of God. Verse 14, they found written in the law. We'll just catch that phrase. And they found written in the word. Searching the scriptures, going to the word. What does the Bible say about this? I say, I have this question. Okay, what does the Bible say? What do we do about this? What does the Bible say? Search the scriptures, for our faith must be founded this way. On the Word of God. And that's why in a church like ours, and I encourage this, you search the Scriptures and you see. This is Acts 17:11. When Paul was in Berea, it says the Bereans searched the Scriptures to see if what he said was true. And the next verse says, therefore many believed. Because they found that it was true. But you search the Scriptures. Don't take my word for it or anyone else's word for it. But be careful. And we are free as believers to listen to different preachers and different portions, but be careful. I wouldn't just have the channel on and preacher after preacher after preacher. I need discernment. I need to be careful. For not every preacher preaches the gospel or the finished work. And as we finish up here, and what did they discover? They discovered that the Feast of Tabernacles, which hadn't been celebrated since the time of Joshua. Imagine. But now they went to the Word and they discovered, oh, we should make booths. And we should commemorate God's deliverance of us through the wilderness. So they went out and they made for themselves booths. And at the end of verse 17, and there was very great gladness. We'll read the last verse here, verse 18. And also, day by day, from the first day unto the last, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. Oh, we thank God for this beautiful book, and this open book, and this place, and these people, and these opportunities that we may grow in our faith. And get to know the Lord, our Lord and Savior. Amen? So, Father, we thank you this morning. Oh, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity that we have had to gather near, to hear, to have an expectation, to mix faith with your word, to be instructed and guided and quickened and corrected and encouraged. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your spirit in us, your word unto us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And on this day, we think of the great sacrifice that you made that we might have our freedom, our spiritual freedom. Oh, thank you and praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Perhaps there's someone here this morning and you've never personally discovered Jesus as your Savior. And in this moment, put your faith in him. He is with you in this moment. He loves you and he died for you, and you can trust him as your Savior and say in your heart, oh Jesus, please save me today by your grace through faith. In Jesus' name. Bless each one here now as we worship together. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's stand together and we'll finish with a worship song.